Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 58. And it's a Sarasode!
And if this is your first time joining us because you're off driving a tour bus with one of our favorite bands, welcome!
What band?
Reverend Payton and the Big Damn Band.
Oh. Well, there's so many that we both like.
I know.
Like, wait, which one? Oh, I get what you're mm-hmm. saying. Yeah.
Because they happened to come up in their fan group, and Breezy asked what the name of our podcast was one time.
Yeah.
And I know they just recently went on tour, so I decided to open that up this week.
Oh, so if you're listening, hello, Breezy.
Hello.
You looked like...
Because the crickets, like, fucking took over for a minute there.
That would have been the best time for the crickets button, man. Yep.
So, what do you have for us this week?
I have true crime. What do you have for us this week?
Absolutely nothing, because I kind of needed a break from research and stuff.
You did.
I struggled to find something.
He was struggle bussing real hard. Yep.
So I still have the on this day for this week. So
hey, that's something. Still had to research for that.
Yeah, but like a main topic, I couldn't come up with something.
I've had those weeks.
Yeah. So, are you ready to get started then?
Do you want to read?
Yes, I do.
Your stuff first.
Of course, I do.
Okay.
You still gotta remember. I gotta still remember we're putting that in now.
Yeah.
If we've only been doing it for a month now, and I still like forget to start it off with, at least you remember to do it.
And I'll keep reminding you until I'm not right anymore.
Yep. All right. So on this day for March 27th, director and screenwriter Quentin Tarantino was born in Knoxville, Tennessee. So, what is your favorite Quentin Tarantino movie, or if you have one, or at least one that you like?
Probably Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I would probably say Death Proof from the Grindhouse films that he did.
Mm.
Or Inglourious Basterds, maybe.
That's a good one, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you guys have one, we want to know what yours is.
Yeah, tell us.
Oh, and also probably the third place runner-up would be the one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I forget. Jamie Foxx?
Yes.
Django Unchained? Yeah. That was a really good
because
one,
that whole scene where, like, his hand's bleeding, that, like, legitimately happened. So her shock of all that was fucking real.
And the fact that he just played through it like nothing.
Right.
But you know he sliced the absolute shit out of his hand, so.
All right. So. Oh, yeah, I did have it in there. Oh. But yeah, he was born in 1963 because I didn't finish my line. Anyhow, not going back and starting it over.
Tangents.
So yeah, because I meant to ask the question after I finished that and I got ahead of myself.
It's all right.
So, Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Starlight Express premieres in London's West End in 1984 and is still being performed today, and it will be opening up spring or summer of this year. And I brought this up because we actually, as a family, went and saw them over at Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
When it was on tour at one point.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, that's a tie to my family thing. Core memory, basically.
Core memory. Unlocked.
Because, and the plot of Starlight Express tells the story of an obsolete steam engine named Rusty who races in a championship race against modern engines in hopes of impressing a first-class observation car named Pearl.
Huh.
And it's all performed on roller skates. I'll have to show you some videos of
Big
it later
Pearl.
On. Have
Big
you ever
Pearl.
Heard of it before?
No.
Other than probably...
Andrew Lloyd Webber, yes.
But I figure everybody's heard that name at least somewhere.
Yeah, but no, not that in particular.
I'll have to see if there's any videos for you to see what it looks like. Because it's actually pretty cool because it's all performed on roller skates. But anyway.
Yeah.
In the world of true crime, Mary Mellon, also a possible subject, a.k.a. known as Typhoid Mary, is arrested and returned to quarantine on North Brother Island in New York. After spending 5 years evading health authorities and causing several further outbreaks of typhoid, Mount St. Helens becomes an active volcano and erupting, killing 123 people in the state of Washington in 1980.
Damn.
Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space ever, died in a MiG-15 plane crash at the age of 34 in 1968.
Goes to space, but dies in an airplane crash. Mm-hmm. That's a shame.
Which is interesting because he could be a possible subject, depending on how much there is, because he basically ragged... Quick explanation, basically ragged the richest story almost. Father was like a farmer slash carpenter kind of deal, so maybe he might be a subject.
Yeah.
For an inspirational type person.
We like an inspirational story once in a while to make up for my depravity.
Yep, we've had a couple of those. We had one of those last week, too.
Yeah.
You could say. And then Helgi Meyer and Cliff Young so far. So.
What was last week?
Malinka Savage.
Oh, duh. Duh. Jesus. Don't mind me. I'm just stupid.
All right. So there. That's on this day for March 27th.
Yay. March is almost over. Mm-hmm. Ugh. It means my birthday is getting close.
Yeah, that means you're getting older.
Also, there's a really cool thing that I want to do for my birthday. So if you guys could kindly remind David that he needs to buy tickets to the Edgar Allan Poe Speakeasy, go ahead and remind him for me. In fact, you could even go so far as harass him. I give my permission.
I'll just turn off notifications on Facebook Messenger and everything, and then I won't ever know I got
it. Yeah, you will, because you'll look and you'll see that lit up because somebody sent you a message. You'll be like, that, what is that?
Or that, or they'll finally come make accounts for the Twitch stream and whatnot, and then start harassing me, and then I'll turn on follower-only chat, and then get the last 20 we need to get affiliate on there.
True. Oh, true.
But anyway.
Speaking of... Make sure you watch us tonight on Twitch.
Yeah, because we're going to be doing, I don't know yet.
Something
either Jackbox or a co-op game of some
co-op-y
sort.
Co-op-y or Jackboxy.
Mm-hmm. It's if we just can get her out of the Diablo hole with her sister for one night.
I can't. It's hard. Shit's real hard.
All right. So before we get any off track here, you ready to get started with your true crime story this week?
My true crime?
Your true crime.
Show is. And yeah, there's no like real introduction to this. This case is fucking bizarre.
Okay.
So I'm just going to dive into it. In the early part of 2019, John McGuire and his girlfriend at the time, Amanda McClure, were living together in Owatonna, Minnesota. They both had a crazy drug addiction, namely meth. Neither one of them were working or even looking for work.
Usually goes with that.
Yeah, yeah. So as soon as their money started to dry up, so did the ability to pay for their addiction. Amanda got the bright idea to go out to West Virginia to reunite with her estranged biological father, 55-year-old Larry McClure. Amanda, however, had every intention for her and John to move in there and take money from dear old dad to pay for their meth. And I said estranged because Larry, the dad, had been absent for damn near all of Amanda's life. There's a reason for this, and I'll get to that. Both she and her sister, Anna Chaudry, had been adopted at a young age and lived in Boone, North Carolina. While Larry had spent 17 years, almost 17 and a half years actually, in prison for the sexual assault of one of his young family members in July of 1998. And by young, I mean the person that he assaulted was between the ages of 6 and 12 years old. Very young.
Yeah.
Family member.
Right.
He was put on the sex offenders registry for this crime alone. And at the time he committed these acts, his own daughters would have been about the same age as the family member that he assaulted. After he was released from prison, he got in contact with his daughters, so they didn't really have any relationship with him at all until they were, like, almost mid-30s. Amanda and John set out to West Virginia from Minnesota, but unfortunately, they would hit Indiana and their car would die on them. Good old Indiana. Dead cars and stuff. Amanda called Larry and asked him to drive all the way from his house in West Virginia to come to Indiana to pick them up. So Larry took the opportunity to basically have a little family reunion. He called Anna, who was still living in North Carolina. They met up, And then the two of them drove to Indiana to pick up Amanda and John.
Did it say where in Indiana?
It didn't. I couldn't find it. Oh. I tried.
Well, if they would have broke down in this county, they would have fit right in.
No, I don't know about that.
No, they would have.
You just wait. For the meth, yeah.
I'll say, because we're like top five counties where we're at.
Yeah. Larry, Amanda, and Anna were all able to reconnect as sisters, daughters, and father. They also got to know each other as addicts, since Larry knew why Amanda wanted to stay with him. You know, money for meth. Since Larry knew why Amanda wanted to stay with him, which is because she didn't have any money for meth, he decided he would take them out and they would just buy the ingredients to make their own meth.
Okay.
The look on your face. What was that?
It's like, why am I not surprised by that? But all right.
I mean, West Virginia. There was absolutely no hesitation in this plan whatsoever. All four of them were on board.
Right.
All four of them. Amanda and John were super dope sick because they hadn't had it and they were hardcore addicted to it. So they, I mean, technically for them to feel okay, they needed this meth.
They're so dependent on it now at this point in their lives.
Yes. Larry was unable to track down a perfect recipe for meth. So they just kind of threw everything together and cooked it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, he was no Walter White.
Well, of course not. And I'm not either. And I even know that because of trainings I did with the Indiana State Police with my time in the fire service. Training they did to, this is what you need to watch out for. And this is what you need to get away from if it looks like this.
Yeah. However, the would-be meth never crystallized as it was supposed to. So they just exclaimed that it was a bad batch and they poured all of their concoction into a jug and just set it aside. I don't know, maybe hoping that it would crystallize over time. I'm not sure. By then, the couple was extremely dope sick. So they just found a dealer and bought the meth that they wanted. Like,
right, and you just did it in the first place?
Right. I don't condone that kind of drug use, but
right,
when you're that sick to the point that you're trying to make the shit on your own.
And not knowing how to do it.
Right. It didn't take long for the four of them to consume all of the meth that they went out and bought.
Of course not.
During the first few days of the couple and Anna being at Larry's house, his and Amanda's relationship grew. You know, father and daughter didn't really have a relationship. Now they're reconnecting. So much so that he told her that he loved her. And not a love that a father should have for his daughter.
Are we talking about, like, what's-his-face that I talked about a couple weeks ago that killed his entire family on Christmas Eve?
I don't know.
I can't remember his name now at this point. It was only, like a couple weeks ago.
Ronald Gene Simmons?
Yes.
I don't know.
That's.
Was he in love with his daughter?
Yeah, that's, they kind of speculated, I believe, because of things that they found in her house after they were looking for a motive.
Gotcha. But this was a romantic love, and Amanda was all for it and felt the same way about him.
No, that's not why I thought the story was going to fucking go. See, so, and they're just wanting to reinforce that West Virginia stereotype.
Yeah. So John coming to Larry and explaining to him how much he loved his daughter didn't really do anything in his favor. It made Larry very jealous.
Right.
Instead, the jealousy, it pissed Larry off. And pretty much at this point, he was like, John's got to go.
Yeah.
Adios, bichachos. But John had to go. He was no longer welcome or wanted in the house by Larry or Amanda at this point, as they had talked since being together and came to the conclusion that they, birth father and daughter, wanted to be together forever as an incestuous couple. That is just instant fucking it.
Right. It's just like kind of curious. I mean, the way I'm going to say this is going to sound really bad.
Okay.
I'm just kind of curious on why people do this or how this happens. I'm like,
yeah,
it's like, what causes this kind of thing, you know?
Meth.
Well, I mean, I mean, we all know that shit goes on with outside influence of drugs or anything. But it's just like, why?
How do you even form that thought in your head?
Right.
I don't know. John quickly became a burden, or better yet, an obstacle standing in the way of the new couple, Amanda and her dad. John had actually been super thoughtful and was looking forward to proposing to Amanda on Valentine's Day that year. He went out and bought dinner to cook for the two of them, steak and potatoes. He even got a bottle of wine for them to drink with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
John didn't realize that there was already a ton of love going on in the house. It just wasn't between him and Amanda.
Yeah.
It's so gross. It was between his girlfriend and her dad. Sorry. Just reading it makes me fucking itchy.
Right.
They did ultimately enjoy that dinner together, but while he was busy grilling the steak, Amanda was busy making plans with Larry and her sister Anna to cut John out of their lives for good.
Isn't that what I thought was you're going to go with that? Like, and she was inside grilling her dad's steak.
God. The family trio planned to play a game with John that they called a trust game. This consisted of tying John up in a chair with his permission. John's legs were tied to the chair legs, leaving him pretty vulnerable. They didn't tie the top of him to the chair. Just enough that he wouldn't be able to get up and, like, right. run away.
I already can see where this is fucking going.
Oh, yeah? Do you think?
Maybe.
He would not have had any way of defending himself, essentially, because he'd kind of just have to sit there and take whatever they dished at him if it turned
right.
ugly. Unfortunately, he would need to defend himself, and it turned ugly. As Larry went from having fun playing a game to having what Anna described as a very, like, big, sinister grin on his face. At this point, John was done, and he had bent down to untie his legs, just as his girlfriend, Amanda, walked up behind him, smacked him over the back of the head with that bottle of wine that they had just had for Valentine's Day. They wound up tying John's arms to the chair this time, so that Larry could interrogate the actual fuck out of him, because he was paranoid. Larry started off screaming, "Who are you?" And John replied, "I'm John McGuire." He had offered proof in the way of, like, "I have my social security card. Do you want to see that?" And Larry didn't believe that that was real. He thought it was a fake social security card. Yeah.
So I'm going to guess this interrogation happened because they were high as fuck.
Probably. As paranoid as Larry was, he kept saying that John was a federal agent. And when they didn't get the confession they wanted from John, the three of them all went in and beat the absolute shit out of him. All of them. At one point, Anna injected John with the bad batch of meth they made that I had talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Two vials of it. Just straight up full vials injected his ass with this. Not literally his ass, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But she put him straight into his carotid artery.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Considering what's in that shit.
Yeah. Anna later on stated that she was absolutely sure that the bad batch of meth would have killed him. However, John was stronger than that, and he did not die from that botched meth. In fact, it made him stronger. They wanted to use it essentially as, like, a truth serum. But yeah, then they're like, hey, if we give him, like, a ton of it, he's just gonna die. And it didn't happen. He tried fighting back and yelling back at Larry that he was not an FBI agent. After a couple days of this kind of torture, the shit went on for days. Days. Amanda wrapped a black plastic bag around his head while Anna strangled him with rope as Larry held John down by standing on his chest. Once John went limp and quit breathing, Larry ordered his daughters to grab more bags so they could put John in it. I don't know how they did that, like one arm per bag.
Maybe
his legs together. Just scooted up to his pelvis and then one over the top of him. I don't know. He then ordered his daughters to go to the backyard and dig a hole to put his body in. They agreed and went outside to do just that. And once they had a shallow grave dug, the three of them dragged John's lifeless body outside to the backyard, rolled him into the grave, and then covered him back up in dirt. This is a fucked up family.
Yeah. Kind of surprised that there isn't an old abandoned mine shaft nearby that can just drop his body in and...
Right.
Something. Never be heard. seen or heard from again, basically.
Yeah. But at this point, you probably think it couldn't get any worse, right?
No, but I'm sure it does. Because he comes back from the dead. Now we got Zombie does. John.
Zombie John. No, not Zombie John. Just days after killing and burying John, Larry and Amanda really jumped into their relationship, and it became very clear that DNA meant nothing to them. They were constantly having sex around the house, including right in front of Anna, who just kind of sat there and watched and didn't think much of it. Fucking gross.
Well, yeah, she's probably high as fuck and just, like, so come out of her fucking mind at that point. But
I don't know.
But still.
Both sisters were in their 30s at the time, so you know damn well they knew what was going on was absolutely disgusting and absolutely wrong. You know that they know that.
Yeah.
But yet, no fucks were given. I mean, fucks were given, just they didn't have any to give.
Yeah.
At any rate, after 6 full days had gone by and that entire time the McClures stayed high, they kept bringing John up and getting paranoid that he hadn't actually died, but they just might have left him, like, slightly unconscious. The only thing they could think to do in their messed up brains was to go to the backyard and dig him up just to make sure. There were definitely signs that he was dead.
Yeah, it's called decomposition.
Definite signs he was dead. But they couldn't take any more chances, so they proceeded to grab a hammer and drive stakes into his body like he's a fucking vampire.
Also, not Zombie John, it's Vampire John!
They then proceeded to dismember John right there in the backyard, just cut him up. The three of them, like, fucking, Jesus that's Christ. Not my...
He's already dead. He's been buried for how many fucking days now?
Six.
6 days, so decom's probably turned in. You know, right. He's already probably started to blood at this point.
Yeah. So, they decided to bury each part of him separately this time. Because, like, he's gonna... It's gonna be squiggle like, his way back
yeah,
together.
Yeah, it's gonna be like fucking Sam at the end of the movie, the big fight scene where his whole his limbs start limping back, you know.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I saw in my head when I was reading this shit. I'm like, no way. But anyways, they buried each
his
part of him.
His hand's just doing a little caterpillar thing back to his fucking arm.
I mean, it's not funny, but that visual is funny.
I know.
They buried each part of him separately. And quicklime was also thrown in on top of him to speed up the decomposition process. Because, you know, 6 days wasn't enough to get that started.
Right.
At this point, after the murder of, then the exhumation of, and dismemberment of John, the trio agreed that he was indeed dead.
Oh, you're sure this time?
I mean, It's possible that he was dead. And I'm not laughing because I think this story is funny.
It's
just the
stupid
fucking
comments.
Stupidity behind what they did. And then your comments is just making me laugh. The newly incest couple of and Anna, of course, decided to celebrate a few weeks later by taking a ride to Tazewell County, Virginia, to get hitched with Anna as their witness. Now, of course, this couldn't be done legally, so Larry used a fake name. They were married on March 11th in a Methodist church ceremony. I'm sure there was more debauchery afterwards, but I'm not gonna, like, I don't want to think about that again.
Nope.
I'm sure you guys don't want to think about that again.
Nope.
It didn't take too long after the wedding before John's ex reported him missing in June, stating that she nor her three children that they had had together had heard from him in any way, shape, or form since February. You'd think they would have reported that sooner, though, don't you?
Maybe. But if
nobody's heard from him since February and it's June.
Right, but if he has a possible history of just disappearing for long periods of time or whatnot because of drug use or whatever, they probably just played it off to that as a possibility.
Maybe. One of John's daughters had actually been making posts on Facebook and Twitter asking for information on the whereabouts of her dad. It said, "I'm posting this in hopes to find out the whereabouts of my dad, John Thomas McGuire, aka Bama. The last known status of him was that he was leaving to go see his mother in Alabama, who had been sick, but unfortunately he did not make it to see her. The last contact he had with anyone was on February 18th, and since then, there has been nothing at all. I'm very concerned for his well-being and safety. I'm asking for help to locate my dad or if anyone has any information on his whereabouts. Please, please contact me or my mother. And then they give her name. She put her name in there, but I'm not going to. Dad, if you're reading this, please contact me or someone so we know you're okay. And we are praying for you and for your safe return home. Love and miss you. They were understandably worried about him. None of his friends or family even knew that he had left with Amanda from Montana to go to West Virginia. Like, he told nobody.
Then you said they were starting in Minnesota.
Did I say Montana?
Yes.
I meant Minnesota. See, I told you in the beginning I'm an idiot.
I didn't say that.
I know, I did. Anyways, whether this was an oversight or just like Amanda saying, hey, don't tell anybody, who knows? During this time when John's family was searching for him, the newly yet illegally married father and daughter decided it was high time to move on, so they did. They moved to Kentucky, and Larry's dumbass forgot to let... Forgot. Air quotations. Mm-hmm. Forgot to let the authorities know that he moved. So he's on the sexual offenders registry. And he moved state lines and told none of the authorities. You know he was, like, his ass was going to get caught eventually. Yeah. And he did. It was an automatic strike against the parole he was still out on. Like, the rules, regulations, whatever. And once he was found in September of 2019, he was immediately arrested for that probation violation, or parole violation. Larry sat in jail on a parole violation, but couldn't be there alone. What happened next was absolutely not out of feeling bad about what happened. He wanted the authorities to know before they searched his place and connected the clues and evidence together that he'd be pinned for the murder alone. He asked to speak to an officer about a murder that he was aware of, and then he held nothing back. He told the police everything that happened, and that included both of his daughter's involvement. So he legit just threw them right under the bus. I mean, they needed to be thrown under that bus, but...
Right.
It was all because he didn't want to be the only one getting in trouble.
Right.
He stated how Amanda was the actual mastermind behind the entire thing, and that he also didn't know what her motive behind killing him was. Though he did speak up and say that it could have been the money, because John apparently was getting Social Security checks and Amanda kept cashing them. But if he was getting Social Security checks, why didn't they just buy their meth back in Minnesota?
Yep. Because we got to cover up that the husband daddy here.
The husband daddy? So maybe it was for the money for Larry, since he was the one pushing to get John out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. And none of these fucking knuckleheads are going to say what's really what. He admitted to them about Amanda and himself killing John and gave them the exact location for all parts in his backyard in West Virginia. So the Kentucky authorities made contact with the West Virginia authorities and they set out to Larry's old place to look in the backyard. Sure as shit, on September 24th, 2019, John's body was unearthed yet again. The entire thing in court was ridiculously stupid.
I can only imagine.
All three of them sat there trying to put blame on each other instead of, you know, being an adult and assuming your own fucking blame. Even though all three of them confessed to helping commit John's murder, Anna said that Amanda and Larry both demanded that she help kill John, and that if she didn't, they would hurt her and kill her children. Amanda said that her father husband.
You're welcome for that.
That's how I wrote it in here.
Oh.
Amanda said that her father husband manipulated her into doing it because he was jealous and didn't want any other man in her life besides him. But.
Do I need to add a throw up button?
Yep. Larry said the entire thing from killing John to digging him up to dismembering him was all Amanda's idea, but also stated that Anna played a part too because she used to date John and she actually had a child with him. So for her, possibly revenge.
I guess, maybe.
Larry wrote a confession letter, and I have a picture of it. I'll show it to you. It's the shittiest confession letter I've ever seen. Anyways, Larry wrote a confession letter 3 months later after confessing everything to the police. And in it, he stated, "I just want it over. No trial. No taxpayers' money spent for trial. I plead guilty or no contest. All I can do is hope for mercy on this. I will say I am sorry for my part in this." Like, okay. Anyways, less than a month later, Amanda and Anna were both picked up for the murder of John McGuire. Both Larry and Amanda were charged with second-degree murder after she followed in her father-husband's footsteps and threw her sister Anna right under the bus as being a fellow participant in the crimes to get herself a lesser sentence. She was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Larry was sentenced to life in prison without the chance of parole. Anna had her trial in April of 2020, and she was also charged with second-degree murder and sentenced to 40 years in prison. John's mother, Karen, talked to the court via, probably Zoom. It's not a video call, so probably Zoom.
Via carrier pigeon.
A video call.
Carried by a carrier pigeon.
Oh, God. And she said, "I just really want to know why." She was speaking about Amanda.
Right.
"Thought she could be God and take my kid." She went on to express how her grandkids are missing their father and cry for him nightly. Karen did also ask Amanda why she did it, and Amanda responded with, "The only answer I can give you as to why things happened is John was with me. My dad didn't want anyone else near me. John told Larry that he loved me and we were going to get married." And that was that. That's all she had to say. All of them pled guilty to their charges. So at least they weren't stupid enough to try and actually fight them.
Yeah.
They all knew they were fucked from the get-go, as soon as Larry opened his mouth. I couldn't imagine any of them trying to fight that. But that's my story.
That's your story for this week?
It's my story.
Well, that was a wild ride. I didn't expect a whole lot out of that.
I told ya.
I know.
Like, it's a real fucked up family.
Yes, it is.
So, it was Friday when I was home, and I asked you if you had ever heard of this family, and you were like, "No." Okay, good. You're gonna learn all about them.
So, yeah, when you did, like, message me about this family, and, like, I didn't, McClure family, I think, or something like that, uh-huh. I didn't put any other tags in there, because I figured if there was anything that came up, it would be, like, the first thing, and I think it was, like, some kind of influencer family that came up.
Yeah.
So, I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Like, and my first thought was, like, maybe it was, like some kind of case of child neglect, murder, anything, something like that. It was my first thoughts that came up when I first Googled it the first time.
Nope, just incest and murder.
Yeah, not what I expected.
Yeah. But I was, as I read the story, like, I read it on one site, and then I went to a totally different site.
Yeah.
To read it, and it was just, each of them had just little details that were different.
Yeah.
But they all primarily said the same thing. And I read it, and I was like, ugh, that's the one I'm doing.
This is almost sounds like a story I would bring everybody, not you.
Why you?
Because it's just so weird and out there, I guess you could say. I'm not saying that you can't bring weird and out there stories like I have.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just not really
my style.
No.
I think I did fucking fantastic with that.
You did a great job on that one.
Thanks, I know.
But I think it might be time we get out of the emporium for the day. What do you think?
I think maybe you should retry that.
All right. Gotta leave it in anyway.
All right, let's try it again.
But I think it's time we get out of the emporium for today, Sarah. What do you think?
I agree.
So until next time,
remember to creep it real.
And don't screw your family and marry them. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, and please don't do that. If you do, just please don't listen to us because we don't want that. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Please go and check out our website at macabreemporiumpodcast.com. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.
All right, before we do that, let me get some water here. All right.
All right.